Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Fine Food Friday, May 29th. I'm Ray Graff. On the line today to answer your farm-to-table produce questions are Cheryl Wilby, Market Manager of Schenectady Green Market, and Himani Gupta Carlson, owner of Squashville Farm in Greenfield Center, New York. You know, it's great. The farmers' markets are starting to open. Things feel better when farmers' markets are open. If you have a question about farmers' markets during the pandemic or after the pandemic or farm-to-table produce, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Cheryl, Himani, Fresh Produce, your calls coming up right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on Food Friday, we have two experts on the line to answer your farm-to-table produce questions and also to talk about local farmers' markets. Himani Gupta Carlson is the owner of Squashville Farm in Greenfield Center, New York. Himani is a professor of historical studies at Empire State College. She has 9 years of farming experience and is known for the fresh eggs, vegetables, and chicken they bring to the market. Himani is ready to recommend recipes for organic healthy cooking. Also on the line is Cheryl Wilby, who is the market manager of Schenectady Green Market. She is ready to answer questions about how the farmers market has adapted in these strange times we live in. If you have a question about farm-to-table or fresh produce, or if you want to know what's in season, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Himani Gupta Carlson and Cheryl Wilby, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
So nice.
Yes, thank you so much.
So nice to have you here. Before we get to the nuts and bolts of the farmers market and the green market and all the stuff we'll talk about today, I am just curious, Himani Gupta Carlson, how did one who was a professor of historical studies end up farming?
Oh, well, we moved here so I could take my position at Empire State College from the West Coast. I actually moved here from Seattle, and we had a dream of having a backyard garden. And we started that backyard garden, and it grew bigger and bigger. And before we knew it, we were producing way more food than two adults, my husband and myself, could eat ourselves. So we started donating it to local food pantries, started selling it a little casually, and then were invited to join a farmer's market, and that's kind of how it grew from there.
Amazing. Now, you started as a kind of a casual gardener and learned as you went along?
Absolutely.
And you're pretty good at it now, yeah?
I still learn a lot every day and make a lot of mistakes. I think that's the rule of life for a farmer. You learn one thing and make two mistakes and hopefully learn from both of those mistakes and learn a new thing and keep moving forward that way.
Really, that's life for anyone. Hopefully we learn from our mistakes. Well, Cheryl Wilby, you are the market manager of the Schenectady Green Market, one of the earliest green markets to reopen. And how are things working out? First of all, where is it located, if anyone's interested?
Yeah, so we are located outside City Hall. We actually just expanded to also have our market on J Street Pedestrian. So you can find us on all sides of City Hall, Clinton, Franklin, J Street, as well as that J Pedestrian side. And we are there from 10 to 2 p.m. on Sundays.
One of the nicest things that I have seen in the last several weeks was when the farmers markets and the green markets began to reopen. You were one of the first. When did you do it and how did you do it? What were some of the hurdles you had to jump?
There were quite a few. So we opened for the first time April 26th. So our market is usually held indoors during the winter season. So when the pandemic first really hit our communities. It was around the week of March 8th that we found out that Proctor's, who usually hold the market, won't be opening again until April 12th. So we kind of went into panic mode, like, okay, where are we going to host the market now? We need to find an alternative solution. So there were several meetings of just planning and brainstorming and thinking of other ways to get the market open. We thought about trying to have it on Stratton Plaza right in front of Proctor's, trying to collaborate with different parking lot owners in downtown, moving to online ordering, working with local businesses to host some of our vendors so that vendors at least have an alternative option to continue to make sales during the pandemic. It felt like every new idea that we came up with, we just were constantly hitting roadblocks. It definitely wasn't easy to finally get the market up and running, but after we spent more time like trying to collaborate with other community partners and especially collaborating with the city to come up with a plan that included health and safety guidelines, a new market layout where folks could shop and be safe and comfortable in the space as well as our vendors. So that took a lot of work, and I'm so grateful for our all-volunteer board that put in so many hours to come up with these plans so that we can open and have a space for our vendors to sell again. But yeah, when we first opened April 26th, we started with about 20 vendors, which is really a third of what we usually have during the outdoor market season.
And that was by design? Was that by design, or was that just vendors didn't want to bother?
It was both of those things. Some folks still felt, I'm talking about vendors here, they felt it was a little too early to come back out and start selling again. And then on the other hand, we had less vendors at market because we wanted to make sure that we had more space for customers to move in the market footprint and social distance. So that included like having vendor tents spaced about 10 feet apart.
Yeah.
And just making sure that there were pathways that were wide enough for folks to move.
And the rules, I know that the one in my town opened and it's different. In other words, in the old days, and I'm talking about last year, you go, you hang around, you have a nibble, you hear some music, you're not in a rush to get in and get out. Now it's, you go, you do your shopping, you move on so that the next person can come in and you can keep the social distancing. Do you find or do you feel in your heart of hearts that by the end of the summer, things will be a little more normal?
I feel that things will get a little more normal, but I don't think that things will go back to what we once used to have at the market, at least not right now. We're seeing some signs of normalcy, like the fact that we might have the opportunity to allow some of our craft vendors to come back to market. We've been really abiding by the rules set by Ag and Markets, where you're really just trying to have food vendors at market right now. But we're seeing that is kind of being lifted and we can have those other types of vendors at market. So that's helpful to see those little changes happen. Every now and then.
It's funny, we got an email from Jen who says, you know, it's more than farms. Remember, there's more than food at these markets. I make my living sharpening knives, tools, and other goods at local farmers markets, some of them a year round. Keep your mind and eyes open. And so these are some of the craftspeople that will hopefully be coming back as the summer wears on.
Yes, we definitely want them to come back for sure.
Our number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. It is a Food Friday, and we talk farm to table, and we talk farmers markets with Cheryl Wilby, market manager of Schenectady Green Market, and Himani Gupta Carlson, who is the owner of Squashville Farm and Greenfield Center. And Himani will be in the spotlight when we come back from our break, and we'll talk about Squashville Farm and what they do, and some of the goods and all the goodies of summer. It's a Food Friday, 800-348-2551 if you want to call in. Duke Ellington and the orchestra here on a Food Friday. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. It's Farm to Table today and Farmers Markets. We have with us Cheryl Wilby of the Schenectady Green Market at Hamani Gupta Carlson of Squashville Farm in Greenfield Center, New York. Hamani, also a professor of historical studies. That's a busy week right there. You have to be the professor, and then you're up really early on the farm. How do you manage that?
Oh, I sleep in shifts and snatches.
So what do you primarily produce on this farm?
We're a small farm, but we actually are an all-around farm.
Okay.
So we produce vegetables. We also raise chickens, both for eggs and for meat. Mm-hmm. And we also raise ducks and geese for eggs. And we often have duck meat available during the fall season. And we also raise goats primarily for meat. So we try to do a little bit of everything, of a lot of things.
That's amazing. I mean, many farms will specialize in one thing or another, but it seems to me that you really have your hands full. And is there anything in season besides goats right now?
So what's in season right now is really eggs.
Oh, yeah. Well,
our chicken eggs and duck eggs are very popular. Mm-hmm. And our vegetables are just beginning to come into production. We're seeing a lot of really good butter crunch lettuce, pot soy, which is an Asian green. And pretty soon we'll start to see garlic scapes and some of the more summer crops.
Now, how many acres do you have allotted for growing vegetables?
We grow on about 1 acre.
Oh, that's a small farm. Oh, my gosh. And on that farm, you have lettuce, and you said you have scapes and some other things. What else do you grow?
Okay, so we grow a wide variety of greens. So we grow kale, we grow collard greens, we grow Swiss chard, we grow Asian greens, including komatsuna, tat soy, and pak choy. We also grow an Indian melon called bitter melon, which the word is Karela also. And we grow tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, summer squash, winter squash. And we grow beans, we grow peas. I'm trying to go through the list. Garlic. And we also grow something that a lot of other farmers don't grow, which are the dried corns and the dried beans, which we harvest in late fall and then dry out through the winter and then kind of bring to market sort of like a year later.
Now, when you harvest, it can't with only an acre, it can't be a huge harvest. Is your business model one that is profitable when you go to farmers markets?
Profit's a good question. One of our mentors, Bill Ellsworth, who is a grain producer, tells us that the goal of a farmer should not be to make a profit, but to break even.
Oh, well, this is good.
And what I would say is that we grow first for ourselves, and secondly, really to feed and support our community.
Yeah.
And third, to try to make some money. Yeah. And a large part of making money is covering our costs.
Yeah, that makes a great deal of sense. What is the most popular item that you will bring to a green market or a farmer's market?
As I mentioned, eggs.
Yeah.
They're usually gone in about the first half hour of the market. And I hope I don't jinx myself by saying that.
How many eggs will you traditionally bring to a farmer's market on any given weekend?
Yeah. So we actually go to three different markets. We go to a market in Saratoga on Saturdays, and then the green market on Sundays, and another market in Saratoga on Wednesdays. And so our eggs kind of have to be shared among the three markets. So I will typically bring about 6 to 7 dozen chicken eggs and about 4 packs of duck eggs.
Hmm. I've never actually had a duck egg. What do they taste like?
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah.
So duck eggs are larger than chicken eggs, and they are very high in omega-3.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a much richer, fluffier kind of flavor to them. Fluffier is the word I've been using lately because I've been making a lot of scrambled eggs for myself. For some reason, I like them in the evening as opposed to first thing in the morning. And I found that the duck egg, when it's whipped up really nicely and then scrambled really quickly in a bit of oil or butter or bacon fat, just has a wonderful, wonderful light, airy consistency. And it goes really nicely with any kind of vegetable, a little bit of rice, lots of things.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Now, you both have not been on this show, but, you know, in a non-pandemic lockdown, you come to the studio and you bring a little nibble of something that we can try during the show. So maybe make a note that some of those scrambled duck eggs might be a nice thing the next time you're here.
Okay, awesome.
Cheryl Wilby, Market Manager of Schenectady Green Market. You open on what day and at what time?
Sundays from 10 to 2 p.m.
And that is by City Hall?
Yes.
How have sales been since you reopened?
Sales have been really great. I really make an effort to check in with vendors during market to see how the day went for them. And a lot of what I hear from folks is that they've actually been selling out of products. I know for some farmers, when the pandemic first hit, they actually ended up producing a bit less because they thought that with the pandemic, farmers markets might not be open again. And now they're finding that they need to try and produce more and meet the customer's demands right now. Like folks are putting in another high tunnel to grow more lettuce, things like that. So it's been really great. And besides farm vendors, all of our other vendors are doing well too. Spirits, they've been doing really great with sales.
Yeah.
Our wine vendor as well. prepared foods. We just had a baked good vendor join us last Sunday, and she sold out within maybe the first 2 hours.
Well, that's fantastic.
Going pretty well.
But, I mean, there are some differences now. And one of the things that I have heard from farmers markets in my area is the encouragement of pre-sales. How would that work in at a farmers market or a green market?
Yeah, so quite a few of our vendors do have an online ordering system where you can select the products that you want for the week and pick up directly at the market on Sunday. Most recently, the Schenectady Green Market just launched our online ordering system for customers to order from some of our vendors. Himani is one of the first vendors that is on that site. So the way that works is you can order from vendors Tuesdays at 9 a.m. And then the ordering period for customers would close Thursday at 5 p.m. And then you would pick up your product at market on Sunday from the vendors that you purchased from. And because you paid online already, all you have to do is just go to the vendor and pick up your product.
Ooh,
no payment at the market. Yeah.
That makes for a streamlined flow. The number here is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. It is a Food Friday, and we talk about green things and delicious, fresh things with Himani Gupta-Carlson of Squashville Farm in Greenfield Center, New York, and Cheryl Wilby, who is Market Manager of Schenectady Green Market. And if you have a question at all, you can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. How do EBT and SNAP benefits work at the green market?
Yeah, so not all of our vendors have a point-of-sale terminal that can accept EBT SNAP benefits. So the market tries to make it convenient for EBT SNAP customers to shop with us by having a terminal at the main market table where you can bring your card, swipe it, and then in exchange you would receive these $1 green tokens that can be used at any vendor at the market. In addition to the tokens, for every $5 that you spend, you also get this $2 coupon called Fresh Cadet Checks. So it really increases the purchasing power of our EBT SNAP customers. And we are also looking at other ways that we can help to increase our EBT SNAP folks' buying power, including we were recently selected to be in the 2020 cohort for this program called Double Up Food Bucks Program. The way this program works is that for every dollar you spend, you get a dollar match to spend at the market. So if you spend $20, you get another $20 to spend with vendors at the market. So this is a really big thing for us that we're really excited about, because our EBT SNAP population is really important to us at the market.
When things are really rolling at the Schenectady Green Market, you as market manager, I assume you are the gatekeeper of those who would like to join and be there and those who maybe can't be in there. Are people beating down the door trying to get in?
I actually just got a call and an email from someone interested in selling at the market. Yes, I would say our interest has definitely increased, but it's a great thing. We would love to have more vendors at the market. We have more space now to accommodate folks, so we're definitely looking for other vendors.
Are you happier in the new location, or would you prefer to be inside?
Well, our market is usually held outside during this time. So from May to October, we are usually in front of City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we're used to.
It may be a little tough come November. I don't know, but we'll see what happens by then.
Yeah.
This question came in via email from Matt in Saratoga, and it's a question for Hamani. And Matt writes, I'm a longtime egg customer of Hamani. Parentheses. Hi, Hamani. Her duck eggs are also great in baked goods. It makes for richer cake, cookies, etc. Can you talk a bit more about the Asian greens that you grow? What do they taste like, and how can they be used?
Okay. Yeah, certainly. And hi, Matt. I agree wholeheartedly about using duck eggs for baked goods. I just haven't been doing a lot of baking lately because it's been hot,
yeah.
But they are very good that way. So we grow three basic kinds of Asian greens. And they're all members of either a cabbage family or a brassica family. And so they have a taste that's kind of reminiscent of maybe cabbage, maybe broccoli, maybe a little bit like kale, and maybe a little bit like salad. The ones that we grow are tatsoi, pak choi, and komatsuna. Komatsuna is a mustard, so it's got a kind of slight lemony, mustardy twang to it. Mm. And it's a lot of people really like to eat it raw. I actually like to steam it with a little bit of shoyu or soy sauce and maybe a bit of sesame oil,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes have it with a little bit of onion or garlic. Pak choi is probably more commonly known. It's got a nice thick stem, and then it's got kind of a small round leaf on the top, and you can actually eat the entire vegetable, except for maybe the nubby end of the stem.
Right.
And that is very good, just sliced crosswise and quickly stir-fried in a little bit of hot olive oil with some soy sauce or some kind of seasoning. And then tatsoi. Tatsoi is probably the most delicate of the group. And I just think about that as like the 32nd dish. You cut off the bottom base, you rinse it out real quickly, shake it dry, put it in a sizzling wok, stir it together for a couple minutes and eat it.
Yeah. I mean, do these Asian greens grow well in this climate?
They do. They actually grow quite well. Many of them can be started relatively early in the season. We start a lot of things indoors under grow lights and then move them outdoors. They do tend to, they're like lettuce in the sense that they tend to go to seed when it starts to get hot, but you can quickly replace them and replant them. And they will actually stick around until a frost. And under, if you're using kinds of protection like low covers, or if you happen to have a greenhouse, you can actually keep them going for quite a while through the winter.
So they're fairly hardy plants.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very hardy. And, you know, their dark green color really speaks of the high nutrition that they've got. I was actually out this morning just planting a pak choi that I'm really excited about. It's got a purple leaf to it, and it's got its name, the seed name, the variety name is Rosie, and I'm just I'm looking. We've never brought it to market before, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it grow.
You had mentioned at the very beginning of the show that you have been farming now 9-10 years, something like that, and you basically started not necessarily as a hobbyist, but growing for your own consumption, and you made plenty of mistakes. What's the biggest mistake you made early on that you figured out, oh, now I know what I'm doing?
Oh, boy, that's a really hard one, because we've probably made a playbook full of mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, I think the biggest mistake that we made early on, and that we kind of were learning from better and better every year, is getting too excited and putting things out too early. And it's really hard to predict, because there are, you know, things like planting calendars that say when you should start things and when you can transplant them and when it's probably warm enough to bring them outdoors. But the weather is very unpredictable. Mother Nature has her own schedule. And, you know, with issues like climate change, that's become harder and harder to guess that every year. So, for instance, this year, we had that nice warm up at late March, early April.
Oh, yeah.
And we put out a lot of lettuce, arugula, kale. And we did have some row covers for it, but then it got really cold, and then it snowed, and then, you know, we had these really high winds, and there were a few days where we didn't even take the row covers off during the daytime, and we thought we had lost it, and we were fortunate. We did lose a little bit, but we actually were able to keep more than we had anticipated. And so we've got some really beautiful, beautiful early crops as a result.
We are joined today on this Food Friday by Hemani Gupta Carlson of Squashville Farm in Greenfield Center, New York. Also, Cheryl Wilby, market manager of Schenectady Green Market. You want to give us a call about organic recipes or greens or chickens or ducks, whatever. 800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday, 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Cheryl Wilby of the Schenectady Green Market is here. Yeah, they're open. They've been open since April, and they are rolling despite some social distancing requirements. And there are Sundays from, what'd you say, 10 o'clock, Cheryl?
Yes, 10 to 2.
Okay. And also joined today, Hemani Gupta Carlson of Squashville Farm, and we're learning all about interesting things grown there. And frankly, I'm intrigued by the duck eggs. And so when Hemani is on the show in person in the studio, she's going to bring scrambled duck eggs, and it's going to be delicious. Let's go to the phone. Sarah in Pittsfield. Sarah, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just curious how the ladies use composting, if they do, especially with organic farming, and how long they let, kitchen items from vegetables and fruit, how long they keep it, and when do they apply it to their garden.
Okay.
And I was also wondering quickly, because you don't seem to have a lot of calls today. It's nice out.
Oh, thanks for noticing.
I was wondering about the nutritional value in some of the edible flowers.
Okay.
Violet, dandelions, nasturtiums.
Well, let's go one at a time here. So let's start with the composting.
Okay. Well, we have several compost piles because one of the things that my husband likes to joke about is that I grow food and he grows soil. And growing healthy soil is obviously the baseline for growing healthy food. We basically combine our compost with animal manure and with other products. Because we have space and because we have kind of a working farm, our piles are very hot. So the compost breaks down, I would say, over about 6 to 9 months. And as to when we apply it to our soil, it's a hard question to answer with an easy, straightforward answer, but other than to say when it's ready. And when it's ready is when it's kind of got that dark, crumbly, friable nature to it. I would say maybe 6 to 9 months afterwards. And we compost throughout the year. And we also accept compost from one of the farmers markets that we vend at.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah, your question, your second part.
That was about, I was just wondering if you could tell me the nutritional value in some of the edible flowers. People serve them a lot in restaurants.
Yeah, so I don't know that much about the nutritional value of the edible flowers. What I have heard them referred to as salad candy.
Ah.
And so they're kind of prized more for their bright, attractive appeal and their spicy, aromatic taste, their smell, and, you know, just their overall beauty. As far as nutrition, they're so small that I don't think they particularly add a lot in the way of nutrition, but I also can't say definitively.
Well, Sarah, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 800-348-2551. And let's go to Diane in Rensselaerville. Diane.
Hello there.
Hello.
I'm asking a question about critters.
Oh,
mainly
good.
Rabbits and woodchucks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering, do you have any secrets and which crops you've had trouble with?
You mean recipe secrets or how to keep them out of the garden?
How to keep them out of the garden.
All right. Because if you come up with a good recipe, they'll stay out of the garden. Anyway, go ahead, Hermione.
Okay. I hope my response will not shock the listeners.
Yeah.
But my secret is cats.
Cats?
Cats. I have a fairly large number of cats in our household, as a lot of farms do.
Yeah.
And they are pretty good hunters.
They sure are.
And I can't say that they've eliminated every rabbit that has crossed our paths, but they certainly do help keep the population under control. And I think just the fact even that they're out there kind of serves as a deterrent. The rabbits know to go elsewhere.
That's wonderful. My cat's too small, but I was told that if you empty the used kitty litter around plants, it dissuades them, and blood meal might dissuade them, and hot pepper. I guess I need a few big cats.
Yeah, a cougar or something, right?
Yeah. Sure. We have used, I do manage a community garden at the Franklin Community Center Food Pantry, and they have a big rabbit problem. And we have used hot pepper around there in the past. I've actually taken a jar of cayenne and sprinkled it around the garden.
I bought a big jug of a hot pepper, black pepper mix from Amazon. So strong, I had to wear my COVID mask.
Oh, boy.
To put it, to spread it. Yeah, really strong.
Yeah.
And that's good, but it doesn't last as long as they say it does.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. We have tried the kitty litter trick also, though I wouldn't recommend putting that on your plants. We put it on the perimeters of our property, and only the urine. So make sure to take the feces out, and that's been fairly effective also at keeping keeping away some animals that, you know, aren't particularly friends of cats, like squirrels and
chipmunks,
occasionally some foxes.
Sure. Well, thanks a lot, Diane, for that call. 800-348-2551 is the number. One thing I've noticed about cats, Imani, is at a certain age, they don't do the rabbits anymore. In other words, our cat used to bring the rabbits back, and she's a little older, and she kind of just watches the rabbits go by. So you need a good stable of cats to handle the problems. What about pests, though? You guys are organic, right?
We use organic methods.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, insects and wilt and things like that, they can be a problem. How do you handle that and still maintain that green feel?
So we actually do a few things. We don't spray, so we don't use any fungicide, herbicide, or insecticide whatsoever. My husband's a pretty good pest squisher. So he's pretty good at kind of getting things like the green cabbage worm that often will get on green crops and tomatoes off those plants. We also have, you know, that's one of the functions of the chickens and the ducks. They will often take care of a lot of the pests for us. And we rely on things like the weeds that get blown in through the wind, they often will attract some of the insects that would otherwise feed on the plants. And I also do plant the edible flowers that a previous caller had referred to around the garden. I found that they attract certain pollinators that are beneficial, like bees and like butterflies. And they seem to, I don't really know this as a proven fact, but they do seem to keep the insect problem a little bit at bay as well.
I agree with you there. And by the way, this is anecdotal and only based on my garden in our backyard. Are you noticing more bees this year? I am.
Last year I noticed a lot of bees. I haven't seen that many yet this year, but I'm hopeful.
Mm. All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Cheryl Wilby is here, market manager of Schenectady Green Market. Imani Gupta-Carlson is also here from Squashville Farm in Greenfield Center, New York, on a Food Friday. And let's go to Mary in New Paltz. Mary. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, I'm having a hard time hearing you. I'm just
going to... Oh, boy. Zach, the engineer, is shaking his head. Your connection isn't too good, Mary. Yeah. Hello, Mary. I think we lost Mary. This email came in from Nick, and Nick wants to know about water. As far as water, are you totally reliant on weather, or do you practice low water farming methods, or water your own crops?
Yeah, we do water. We have to, especially when we have several stretches of dry days. We do try to rely on the weather as much as we can, and we watch forecasts carefully. But and in fact, I was just watching a big shower roll through here.
Oh yeah.
And but we do, you know, when the soil is dry and the crops start to wilt, we definitely will get out the water fountain, the water sprinklers, and give everything a really good watering.
Yeah. And let's go back to the phones. We'll see if Mary in New Paltz is now standing on a card table or something and has a better signal. Hello, Mary.
Hi, I'm back. So I'm putting in a vegetable garden for the first time. I've already, you know, broken the ground and tilled. I've added 250 pounds of cow manure. It's a 10x10 garden. My question is, what other kind of fertilizer should I put into the soil? I've read that I need nitrogen-rich fertilizer for a lot of the plants I'm putting in, but I don't know where to start with that.
Hmm.
Okay. I think you've probably done a really good job already. I would go ahead. Are you putting in seedlings, or are you putting in seeds?
Since it's my first time, I'm going with seedlings.
Okay, so chances are your seedlings were actually planted in a potting soil that had an organic fertilizer of some sort mixed into it. So they've already gotten a good dose of a good head start. So I would go ahead and plant the seedlings directly into the soil and, you know, then just watch them grow. We apply an organic fish fertilizer about every 10 to 14 days or so. We try to even keep that amount fairly minimal. Because we really want the crops to get the bulk of their nutrients from the soil and the sun and the water. But watch them and see how they grow. And if they start to look kind of yellow or droopy, you might want to add a small amount of fertilizer. And most garden stores or nurseries can recommend a good fertilizer, and it's usually diluted with water, and you can just sprinkle it right into the soil around the edges of the plant as you're going. So good luck.
All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551 on this Food Friday. Felice in Schenectady. Hello, you're on.
Hi, I'm wondering if either of you know of any plant exchanges. I have in my garden a bumper crop of Brussels sprouts, and I would love some squash or cucumbers, in addition, and, you know, to trade.
Don't all jump at once.
Yeah. Cheryl, do you know of anything like that?
I do not, unfortunately.
Okay. That's all right. Sorry about that, Felice. It's a good idea, though.
Okay, well, all right. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for the call. All right, Cheryl Wilby, tell us what's coming up at the Green Market this weekend. What are the highlights?
Yeah. So this weekend, I don't think I mentioned this earlier, but if folks are looking for more information in general about the market, if you want to learn more about our online ordering or which vendors will be at the market this Sunday, please do visit our website, SchenectadyGreenMarket.com, or our Facebook page at Schenectady Green Market. But this week I can tell you what some of our vendors are offering. We will have Awestruck Ciders with us this Sunday. They're based out in Delaware County. Their cider is amazing, so please do pick some up. They'll have their dry apple and oak, hibiscus ginger offering.
Nice.
Taj Mahal will also be with us. They have amazing samosas. You should definitely pick those up. And chicken tikka masala.
Love it.
And Major Farm with us as well with their many varieties of apples. Whatever type of apple you're looking for, I'm pretty sure Maynard has it.
By the way, was the rooster on your line, Cheryl, or on your line, Himani?
No, I would say that's Himani.
That was most definitely my rooster, and I was actually wondering if you heard it.
Oh, yeah, came through very well. Let's go to Lori in Boston Spa. Lori, you're on.
Hi, I just had a question about if you have grubs in your lawn and you plant a raised bed vegetable garden on top of it, do you have to worry about them eating the roots of your vegetables?
They could do that. They could very well do that. What I would suggest is that if you see them while you're turning soil or weeding or anything, to just get them out and get them away, you know, get them out of the garden. I was going to say feed them to your chickens, but you'd have to have chickens to feed them to your chickens.
Right. Okay. And then this is kind of a really quick odd question. We have cats, and we had a dead chipmunk, and my husband put it in the raised bed and said, "Oh, it's no problem; it'll just decompose in there." Before we put it, is there any a dead animal like that in the bed, like as far as worms or parasites or anything?
So we lost you a little bit, but I think your question was, is there any danger in leaving the dead animal in your raised beds?
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine it's wonderful, but would you do something like that, Himani?
I probably would not, just because I'm very squeamish about that stuff.
Yeah.
My cats don't bring their presents home to me.
That's an interesting one, though. Well, you know what, Lori? I tell you what. Why don't we do a gardening show? So why don't you call in the gardeners? I think we did one a couple of days ago, so we'll probably do one in a week or two. They would love this question, and they'll probably have a good answer for you. Thank you very much for that one. Quickly, let's go over to Dennis in Summit. Dennis, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about soil, and it's the first year I've actually built a little hoop house, little hot house, and I got raised beds, and my soil's kind of clay. I was wondering, can I add some playground sand to it to help the drainage?
I wish my husband were online to answer that question, because he would have a much better answer to that than I would. What I would suggest is checking with a cooperative extension office.
Great idea.
I know Cornell has a lot of information on their websites, or check with a local nursery.
And Dennis, I'll give you the same advice that I gave the last caller. This is a perfect one for the gardening show. Those guys know soil, and they could definitely steer you in the right direction there.
Okay, so don't put a dead animal in there, right?
Well, that's just another option. Yeah, I mean, that's up to you, of course.
Yeah.
But, thank you for the call. All right, once again, Cheryl Wilby. The Green Market is on Sunday at 10 a.m. till 2 p.m., and that's in front of City Hall. What is your website?
Our website is SchenectadyGreenMarket.com.
SchenectadyGreenMarket.com. Well, it was a lot of fun having you here. Now, are you having live entertainment? I know the one in our town, they're not doing live entertainment right now.
Yeah, no entertainment, no tables, nothing to encourage folks to stay around too long, unfortunately.
Maybe someday. Hamani, do you have a website for Squashville Farm?
We have a Facebook page, and our Facebook page is Squashville Farm.
Well, it was a lot of fun having you both here, and best of luck. Enjoy the season, and thank you all for listening. Support comes from Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst and smoked meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarsky's.com. At Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, the Rua family, serving Albany since 1982, organizing tours to Italy. CafeCapriccio.com for information. Well, once again, thanks to Cheryl and Hamani for joining us today and teaching us all about good local green stuff. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer, did a great job this week. Thanks to, oh my gosh, she's back again. Charlene Knight answered the, it's like a full week of Charlene answering the calls. How could you lose? Our producer is Jackie Orchard. I'm Ray Graff. Have yourself a great weekend. Keep 6 feet, 20 feet from people, whatever. Just keep far away from people. Wear a mask. Stare at the corner. Everything will be fine. We'll see you on Monday at 2 with pediatrician Jackie Jones. Right now, stand by for the best of our knowledge.